in your brain, you're in the Nerd's Domain. Come on in, it's about to begin.
Hi, I'm Matt, and I'm here at Gen Con once again. Welcome to the Nerd's Domain podcast. Again, forgive our audio quality. You're going to hear a lot of stuff in the background, maybe a few announcements. I'm here today with
Adam.
Adam.
Yeah, Adam.
Adam with Cryptozoic. He's going to tell us about what's coming on, what's going on with Cryptozoic and now and in the future. So, Adam, we just got our review copy of Raffle.
Awesome.
We tried to play it last night at dinner. We got a round out before we had to stop. But what can you tell me about Raffle and anything else that's just come out?
Well, Raffle, the game design and the visuals are all done by John Kovalik, who has doesn't really need it. Actually, he's right here.
Hey!
We're recording right now.
So. Yes, John Kovalik, hey!
Yeah.
Hi, nice to meet you.
So the man, the myth, the legend behind the game, look, feel, everything.
Sometimes underneath the table.
Yeah.
that's not the feeling I was talking about.
No, okay, all right. Yeah.
Thanks for going there. do you want to just... say your two cents on...
You want to talk about Raffle real quick? We just got our review copy Wednesday.
Okay.
We tried to play it at dinner last night, which was fine. It just... we ate instead of playing much. So, what can you tell us about the game?
The game basically takes the mechanism of texting, shortening words, and turns it into a game engine.
Okay.
So you do not have to be good at texting to play this game. You don't have to like texting to play this game. I'm terrible at texting. I use the voice command instead.
Oh, absolutely, absolutely.
But it creates a sort of name that tune game mechanic.
Okay.
Where people are shortening phrases. Most of them are fairly well known. You don't have to know where the phrases come from. You just have to get the guesser, the one player who has not seen the phrase, to say that phrase.
Okay.
If you do that, you get points. So you want to try and shorten your phrase down as much as you can while still making it intelligible. Because the person who shortens their phrase the most is the first person to show their phrase to the guesser.
Okay.
And it just goes in order.
Goes on from there. And it plays up to 8, is that right?
Actually, I've been hearing reports that people have been playing it in teams. So it can actually be a
big party even better.
Game.
Okay. So it is a party game for just to lay back and have fun?
Yes. Most of the cards are very geeky.
Okay.
Because this is my people.
No, oh, yeah, absolutely, absolutely.
I wanted to throw in the Star Wars quotes along with the Shakespeare quotes and
absolutely.
Along with the Big Bang Theory quotes. But it's a party game, but it's got, it seems to have enough in it that hardcore gamers really get into it. And in fact, the hardcore gamers are fantastic to watch because... they will, before they even write their phrase down, they will jump on a space and claim the number of characters. Only one player may use a certain number on the board. So if you're in the 8 space, nobody else can shorten theirs to 8 spaces.
Okay.
They've got to go to 7 or
higher.
Go
yeah.
to 9.
Yeah.
So it's really funny watching the hyper-competitive, solid gamers get into this as a very... cutthroat kind of game.
Okay.
But I was just playing over there with this wonderful family, and the 10-year-old daughter could not stop playing it. We're just going to do one round, and she just wanted to keep playing.
Okay.
So this was, you know, a mother, a dad, an uncle, and the daughter. And they're not, you know, hardcore gamers by any stretch of the imagination. And it's just, it's really nice seeing people having so much fun with something you worked on.
Okay. Well, thank you very much for stopping by. It's a pleasure to meet you. I'm a big fan of all your work, especially Munchkin.
Thank you so,
so
much.
Thank
I
you.
Appreciate that.
We had that all planned.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. That was totally planned.
Just quickly,
yeah.
I'm going to go try and grab some lunch.
Okay.
And I've got a signing at
Jackson
1.
Right?
Okay. So I'm guessing I'll be back here around 2-ish.
Okay,
so.
Perfect.
And if they stop the lunch.
I'm sure.
So, Raffle just came out.
Yes.
What else do you... I saw you have a DC deck building expansion.
We do. It's actually not an expansion. It's a full standalone.
Okay.
But it can combine with the first deck builder. So
okay.
It's not a booster. It's a fully playable... play it on your own. You can get that one first, and you get the old one next, and then completely
okay.
mix and match.
So similar to what you guys did with Penny Arcade.
Yes.
Okay.
So, same engine. All new characters, all new villains, all new superpowers, all new equipment.
Okay.
But completely compatible. It's actually being played right here. That's not a... that's a...
looks like a promo
prototype,
set. Yeah, yeah.
But it is fully approved. It's in manufacturing now. It should be out later this year.
Okay.
Arkham City Escape is fairly new this year.
Okay.
That one's really great. It's an asymmetrical head-to-head game where one player plays as Batman, the other player plays as all of the bad guys. So
oh, okay.
It's kind of like Batman against the entire Rogue Gallery.
Okay.
The Rogue Gallery's trying to get a certain amount of villains to escape off of the board. Batman's trying to stop them.
Okay.
So it's really fun because as you play one side, you can play it a number of times, then switch seats, and all of a sudden it's like learning a whole other game.
Okay.
A game that I lose often to my wife.
Oh, absolutely.
Whenever she plays the bad guys.
Okay.
And that's basically because I'm a terrible dice roller. My strategy sound.
Strategy sound.
But it's a really fun game, and it's fun when Batman can kind of build on combos, a lot like in the Arkham series of video games. That's how his attacks kind of play. He's trying to you know, build on the combo so he can move around the board and grapple the gargoyle towers.
Yeah.
And so every once in a while, when it goes down right, you can have that other player have that stunned look on their face. It's Batman.
I'm Batman, yeah.
He's got the full,
absolutely.
He's got the full array of utility belt items. It's really fun.
Okay.
Debuting here right now is Gravwell. Have
okay.
you heard about that?
I have not, but I was looking at it. It looks nice.
Okay, so Gravwell is an interesting story. The game designer, Corey Young, was standing right in this spot last year holding this prototype of a game and came up to one of our guys and said, "Hey, you want to try out my game?" Sure. 20 minutes later, we like it.
Oh, wow.
Let's do it. And 1 year later, it's printed. It's debuting here. He was actually here yesterday demoing, and it's doing really well. It's having a lot of follow-through sales based only on people playing it and wanting to then get it.
Wow, that's awesome, because you hear so many times that kind of stuff never works.
Yeah, it's true.
But then the one time it does.
Stop by.
Excellent. Yeah, excellent.
So what's the game about? What are the mechanics?
Okay, so everybody is basically controlling a spaceship that's been sucked into a black hole. And on the other side of this black hole, everybody's out of fuel. So you're having to acquire elements, and then those elements all can be played in a combination to actually propel you back out of the black
okay.
hole. So gravity's a big part of it, and you're drafting your cards as you play, and then you play them. There's two parts that really come into play. You have what the element will do as far as distance, and then you also have when it can be played in turn order. So what looks like the best card possible can instantaneously turn into the worst card possible.
Okay.
Because you're always being pulled to where the gravity is. So if you see the way the ships are lined up, nobody's going to see
yeah,
that on
no,
the podcast. Look at that blue ship. It's amazing. the way you're going to move is where everything else are. And there's derelict ships. Those are kind of ships that have been, they didn't make it. So they're just kind of floating in and affecting the gravity.
Oh,
so if you
awesome.
Get out in front of everybody, all the gravity is behind you. So if you play a card that's going to advance you a long distance, guess what? It's pushing me the other way, because that's where the gravity's pulling you. So you want to be in the right spot at the right time for the
okay.
right card to be played, and you have to really read your opponent to think what they're going to do, too. So
okay.
Now, is it a point-based system, or is it actually whoever gets through the black hole first?
It's the first to escape the black hole wins. So
okay.
It does have like a sense of urgency that you know you can see in real time what's going on.
So it looks like it's a spiral coming out of the black hole all
yes.
the way to the bright white area there, I assume, is escape.
Yes.
Okay.
So that's a really fun game. That's brand new for us. Have you guys heard about the Doom that came to Atlantic City?
We looked at it briefly, but we haven't heard much about it, no.
Okay, so that was it's another interesting story. So that was one of the higher profile Kickstarter failures that have ever happened.
Okay.
This was a game that was up on Kickstarter about a year and a half ago, and raised a lot more than its goal funding. Third party who was responsible for getting everything fulfilled about a year later said, "I don't have the money anymore and the games aren't happening," leaving about 1,200 backers in the wind.
Oh, wow.
Scott Gaeta here at Cryptozoic knows Keith Baker pretty well. So the game, the artists and the designers had nothing to do with...
Is that Keith Baker, the writer?
Yes.
I'm familiar with Keith Baker.
Yeah. Okay, yeah. He's a great guy.
Okay.
Lee, the artist, B. Moyer, big fan of his artwork too. Now, they had nothing to do with the unfulfillment. They just basically made a game. And we got a hold of them, asked if the rights were reverted back to them. They said that they did. And we said, "We like the game. We'll make it." And so we're going to manufacture the game. We're going to get a copy to all the backers for free.
Okay.
And if the backers, you know, back multiple games, they'll get multiple games for free. And then after that, we think the game's just sustainable on its own. We think we're going to sell a lot of those games.
Oh, okay.
So
awesome.
Pretty exciting for us.
I looked at it a little bit. It looks like, is it Cthulhu-based?
It is Cthulhu-based.
So
it looks like another game, but it plays nothing like it.
Yeah,
okay.
It looks
the
very much...
The game that shall not be mentioned. But,
like an Opoly, maybe.
Right. Now, only in setting. So the way that the game plays is that Atlantic City is an existing city, fully built up. you will play as one of the great old ones, and it's the first to destroy Atlantic City wins the game.
Oh, so it's the opposite of that.
It is the opposite. There's no monetary currency. You're traveling around the board, but as you land on things, you're trying to either fight each other or destroy properties, and then the first to open six gates to your world, basically.
Well, that's kind of, I like that. That's interesting. That's very.
What's the price point on that?
You know, this is all happening in real time, so we're just discussing the manufacturers.
Oh, excellent.
But I mean, I'm going to say in the neighborhood of 45 or 50, but
that's,
we don't know
that's not bad.
Because we're it has beautiful tool pieces that are going to be done.
I saw that.
And,
they do look gorgeous, and they're very vibrant. Like, the green on the tentacles is just amazing.
Yeah.
So.
And it's really lighthearted. This isn't your, you know, your deep six-hour Cthulhu experience. This is your more, let's have a laugh. And
okay.
A lot of tongue-in-cheek. Pete's a great writer, so he has a lot of tongue-in-cheek in the cards.
Excellent.
Really fun.
So anything else you guys have coming out? I know you've got Walking Dead that's been out for a while. And
we actually have a brand new follow-up to The Walking Dead. This is The Walking Dead Best Defense. And this game is, I think this is one of the first samples that we actually got. This will be out in the market in about a couple of weeks, I think.
Okay.
This is a fully cooperative board game. This takes place much further along the series. Our first game, as people know, was very early on. So this one is intended to be co-op. The other one is semi-co-op.
Okay.
It's a little deeper of an experience, but I think, you know, the first one is more accessible, I think, to a casual gamer, because what The Walking Dead did is open up a genre to a lot of people who really didn't know that they were fans of the genre, and we kind of wanted to ride on that and not overcomplicate something to a lot of new fans. A lot of people had, you know, spouses or friends that are like, I didn't know I liked zombie stuff. This show's amazing. And so didn't want to sit down with the most complicated game at first, but now we can kind of. Walking Dead card game, also very new. And this is another kind of casual game, something at a lower price point, also very, very accessible, and that's out now.
Okay. And you've got a couple of deck building games beyond that, so you've got your Lord of the Rings and Penny Arcade.
Yep, and Lord of the Rings, Two Towers, brand new, debuting here at the show too.
Okay.
We were only able to get about six cases in, and they've been disappearing instantly the second the show opens every morning, and we're now officially out of them.
Okay.
But the nice thing about the Lord of the Rings deck builder is that each one introduces a new mechanic into play, and also they all run on the Cerberus engine, so they're interchangeable as well.
Okay.
But the Two Towers introduces the wall deck, so basically you're defending Helm's Deep at the same time.
Oh, okay.
So if that deck gets depleted, and every time cards get drawn from it, bad things typically happen. The wall's been breached, and it's another way for the game to, you know, have an endgame.
And is the Two Towers also standalone? Like,
yes, fully standalone and interchangeable, and we're going to be following up with the Return of the King in 2014.
And if I understand correctly, you can mix Lord of the Rings with, like, the DC deck building game?
Not with the DC games, we're going to be coming out with a Hobbit version.
Okay.
Those will be interchangeable.
Those will be interchangeable.
The DC engine, interestingly enough, is going to be compatible with our upcoming Capcom Street Fighter deck building.
Oh, excellent. Okay.
And it's too early to say, but in 2014, we're going to have a couple others that are going to make for some really wild mashups.
Okay, so you guys have good plans looking into that. Okay,
right.
Good.
The DC engine is going to be the one that's going to do a little bit more world colliding. The Lord of the Rings is what we're just kind of deeming our Middle Earth engine. So all the Lord of the Rings and Hobbits will be compatible.
Okay.
They'll have a common back, but so will the DCs and the other ones.
Okay, excellent. So I think that's a big chunk of your games.
Yeah.
So we appreciate you talking to us today. Do you have anything else you want to point out? Or I mean, it looks like you guys do a lot of licensed games. So you have Lock and Key, Walking Dead, Penny Arcade. Is that kind of your business model, or is that just happened to be what you guys got?
You know, I think there's a strength to that, but I wouldn't call it our business model, because at the same time, with the Gravels and the Brothels and Dune, we kind of want to have... We want to be the one company that you can't say, oh, they just do that.
Oh,
so
okay, excellent.
We want to have a really wide variety. We want to have a wide variety of complexity, accessibility. We're a strong proponent of licenses because they can, you know, they're kind of that gateway into, you know, opening up this world. If there's a great game mechanic, but it's getting lost because, you know, people aren't familiar with the wrapping it's in, but if you can put it in something familiar, that can whet the palate to be like, oh, now I'm ready to dive into something else. So that's why we don't want to, you know, focus on any one or the other, because we think there's so many great, you know, unique intellectual properties. And we've got our own with Hot Rod Creeps and, Hot Rod Creeps is one of our, you know, original ones we built on Epic Spell Wars, and then by owning our own pieces, we can actually have those characters show up in other places.
Okay.
So, and did you guys see the Epic Spell Wars trophy?
Oh, no, I did not.
Yeah, that was awesome. For the tournament winner, one of a kind. And so we do want to have, we want to grow our own IP. We like to, you know.
Oh, yeah. I'll tell you, before we came here last year, we thought you were the wild card guys, and that's
right.
it.
Right.
And clearly you're not. So I want to make sure that all of our listeners know that there's a lot more going on at Cryptozoic. So
thank you.
And we love putting out there.
So I think that'll wrap it up. So that's it tonight for Nerds Domain Podcast. You can catch us on iTunes. You can head over to our website, and you can catch our shirts over at slashloot.com. We'll talk to you soon.